Herzlich willkommen zum Netzpolitik-Podcast. Diesmal haben wir drei äthiopische Blogger in Addis Abeba getroffen. Und kurz zum Hintergrund, Äthiopien hat vermutlich die kleinste Blogosphäre auf dem afrikanischen Kontinent. Gut 20 Blogs buhlen um die Gunst der Leserinnen und Leser. Und sie bieten eine alternative Informationsquelle zu den sonst vom Staat sehr an der kurzen Leine gehaltenen Print- und Rundfunkmedien. Kurz zu den Hintergründen. Die Ausgangssituation für Blogs ist in Äthiopien nicht ganz einfach. Äthiopien ist eines der Länder mit der geringsten Internetdurchdringung weltweit. Von den 90 Millionen Einwohnern des Landes haben nur knapp 500.000 einen regelmäßigen Zugang zum Internet. Und das entspricht etwa 0,5% der Bevölkerung. Der Durchschnitt auf dem gesamten afrikanischen Kontinent beträgt 11,5%. Dabei gibt es dann doch eine Besonderheit bei der Nutzung des Netzes in Äthiopien, denn wer einmal im Netz ist, der nutzt dann auch Facebook, denn in keinem anderen Land kann das Social Network prozentual so viele Onliner begeistern wie in Äthiopien. Fast 80% der äthiopischen Onliner sind dann auch Mitglied bei Facebook und auch das dürfte ein Rekord sein. Insgesamt kann man über das äthiopische Netz sagen, dass sich die Nutzung schwierig gestaltet. Das Ganze erinnert an das gute alte 28K-Modem der 90er Jahre. Also Videoschauen, Videotelefonie, größere Downloads und File-Sharing sind nicht möglich und es gibt auch nur Internet in größeren Städten. Das vielleicht vorweg zur Situation des Internets in Äthiopien. Wie gesagt, es gibt 20 Blogs und wir haben in Addis den Blogger Abel Asrat von Freedom Bloggers getroffen. Wir haben Markus Lemmer getroffen, der eveket.wordpress.com macht, ein eher tech-orientiertes Blog. Und wir haben Arefaini getroffen vom Addis Journal, der wohl erfolgreichste äthiopische Blogger. Das Interview ist in Englisch und folgt jetzt.
The first question is perhaps simple. It's why do you blog?
Okay, so my name is Arefaini Pantahon. I live in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. So I run a blog called Addis Journal. So the medium is actually WordPress. Mm-hmm. So I started blogging with blogspot.com. It was sometime, I think, I don't exactly remember the year, but it was blocked on blogspot.com, so all over the country. So that was just a few months after I started. So I have to shift to WordPress, and WordPress is starting working fine so far, yeah. Which is a good thing. So the question why I blog is also, or?
When did you start it, and why?
Before I started this blog, I was working for a media, for a government news agency, which is called WALTA, Information Center. So I left WALTA before, I think, about 2004 or something. So I was employed to work in a women's project, but still, you know, once you are a journalist, you have always something to say. There are things that you. So I was just looking for some kind of medium to express my ideas, left Walter, but there were things that interested me, like going to theater, going to the galleries, blah, blah. So I was looking for a medium where to write those things. And that's how I started blogging. Yeah.
Okay, my name is Abel Asrat. I'm a student studying mechanical engineering. I'm founder of my own blog called Freedom Bloggers. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, I introduced myself with the term blog by the invitation of Marcos and Jon to blog for Talk About It Ethiopia. And after that, I got inspired to start my own blog to cover issues that matter. Especially, I got also some motivation by the recent movements all across the world, so I find it necessary to address issues that matters.
Yeah. Okay, my name is Marcos Lema, and my blog is like it's Okat, wordpress.com. It's Amharic word meaning knowledge, actually. So I think I started to blog like sometime September 2009 or something. It's summer September 2009. But I really started to blog like like regularly, like starting from mid of 2010, I would say. I don't know. The reason that actually, like, I am very much interested about like the social media and blogging, all this, like this culture. But also the reason that I always say I write for my own mind freedom in a way. That actually, like, everything, like, I express, like, I just want to let it out and tell people actually what's nice and what's it's like in my circle usually. So probably, like, I don't have like this big idea of changing something with a blog, but I always try to help people, like, with some technology things, also like green technology or some active community establishment. So that's why actually, like, I write blogs.
Yeah. The few three having here, it's about like more than 10% of the of all Ethiopian bloggers are sitting in this room. Why? What do you think? Why? A lot of people in Ethiopia are on Facebook, and but the blogosphere is really small. You told me that it's
about 20 blogs, you think, or perhaps it's 30 or so.
Yeah.
What do you think is the reason?
Maybe culture of reading is not that much developed, one. The other, they seem to take time to read one person full article. They seem it may not be that much interesting for them, because most of the time they see internet as entertainment rather than as a way of sharing information from my friend, this circle.
And you?
Yeah, I think like you said, actually, in the statistics, almost everyone who uses internet actually uses Facebook, for example. It's like, I don't know, it's like around 400,000 people are using internet in Ethiopia, and out of that, actually, about 300,000 people are using Facebook. But I think the reason why people don't use blog in the first place, actually, there are only a few people know about blog. So there's also like some awareness problems. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is actually, like, we don't have like people who are like extremely dedicated to write blogs, because if you really see like everywhere in the world, like if you write a blog and then you don't get benefit directly in terms of money, especially. So for most people, actually, it's it takes time to write and to analyze things. Probably like Arafaini, for example, he has to go and like interview people. Like, it takes time for that, all the research and everything. And for most people, actually, like, it's extra job to do that. So it's not very motivational in a way, because there is no indirect benefit. And the other one is, of course, like, there is no any...
That's why I started. So I have to shift to WordPress and
WordPress. But the reason could be also, like, blogging is somehow related to, like, very much, like, concentration on the internet and... a lot of people just come and update their Facebook or see a friend's face, like, picture, instead of like looking for something deep and personal. Yeah.
So I would agree to what they said, actually. Just to add some, like, access to the technology, what Marco said. If that's statistics is 400,000 people using even Facebook, so you could see that it's very few, like, even by African standards.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, you have in Egypt about 10 million people using Facebook or something. So it's true that most people in Ethiopia who use internet check their emails and check their Facebooks, because Facebooks, they have to interact with their friends. So most of our readers happen to be people who live in the United States and Europe, because we have many Ethiopians now living outside of the country, but where they still have more or less better access than those who live in the country. So it's them that will tend to be more interested in the blogs. But the other thing is also language, because we're writing in English, but you have like in other Africa, people tend to read in Ethiopia, people like Rudy Vinadis tend to read things written in Amharic than in English. Even if you check for the papers here, you have Amharic and English newspapers. So most people read Amharic ones than English, because there is also language hurdles. So that's why I think are some of the reasons why there are few bloggers and few readers.
Do you have the feeling that it's changed, that it's getting more people are blogging or interested in blogs? at the moment, or?
I don't know, like from my perspective, I don't know, personal perspective, and instead of like increasing too much, like fast, it's more like there is actually a kind of networking between bloggers. So I mean, that's actually the nice thing, because it's very small blog sphere here, but the thing is, like, we know each other, like we know most of the bloggers in person. We also like exchange information and ideas, like now, like we can call each other. So I mean, the network is very good. So I think that's very important, especially for the growth of the blog sphere. But in terms of the number, I mean, of course, there are actually like more people already start to write their own blogs, I would assume, but like probably like once in a while, not really like this boom, like not like 100 people start in one day or something. It's very good, very small, gradually.
Yeah, for me the same case. It has not been growing as much as I expected it to be.
Yeah.
But I think I'm just trying to be consistent, or, you know, to come up with some blogs, so that is just hoping that, you know, someday there will be more people who would take interest in it. But the thing is, in Ethiopia, actually, when you talk about how blogging started, it has something to do with current affairs. Because in 2005, there was this election. And then there was huge interest then to know what's going on. And then people were not really reading local papers, they were also going to the internet. Most people actually go to the internet thinking that they would find more, you know, some important things than they do here. Like, because they expect you to be, you're blogging underground, and then you might publish things that other newspapers don't necessarily do. But now, since there is not such a current affair that interests people, probably that's why now many people don't go to the internet also to really find out. Like we don't have weekly kind of moments that we are publishing, so people tend to be more interested. Otherwise, they could read the papers. Because in my case, I write about cultures and arts. It is something that they could read in other newspapers. You know, they might come to my blog, but it's not worth it. You know? It's not worth to spend their time. And also, internet is also very expensive in Ethiopia. It's very new, and also it costs a lot of money. So as I said before, they just check their email, Facebook, and then they go out.
Do you think that blogs are like complementary to the media system of Ethiopia, or is it kind of underground, or is it, how would you describe it? It's like getting some other views on it. But
they could be complementary with the newspapers, like, for example. Now, I have to compare myself with those written in English, because in America, you have lots of choices, magazines, and there is nothing of a comparison. But if you take those English papers in Ethiopia, like the good ones, which I think are Addis Fortune, Capital, tend to be very business-oriented. The reporter, there is the social aspect, lifestyle, and also politics. So, for people, you could still try to write about things that they don't give much emphasis to. Still, you're writing with the same framework, but still, there are events, for example, that they tend to ignore. So I prefer to write about those, and so yes, they could be complementary. But there is if there are still also events which are important, when they go for it, and you go for it too. So it's, yes, it could be complementary. Yeah.
Okay. What are the Ethiopian blogs are writing about? Could you say this in general, or is it you are writing about culture and art? Others, you are writing.
I'm writing about politics and social things.
Yeah.
And the thing I confronted writing these things, many people. First, it was not quite. It was not interactive. My blog, because most of my friends are not quite aware with the term, so I created this Facebook groups, and I try to post the link. Even in that case, they were not visiting the blog site, so I try to post sensitive things that can make them to discuss, or that can make them to ask, oh, what is going on with this guy? Is he crazy or something like that? And even in that case, the people that participate are quite few. But what I understand is that those who I think don't read, when they meet me personally, they know all my posters, what I have written, but they are not quite comfortable in responding back because they believe that you won't make significant change just by posting this is Ethiopia.
Is it a problem to get comments?
Yeah.
In Ethiopian blogs?
Yes, that's true.
So that people don't.
Yeah, most people don't. They just read and. Yeah, you have like your hits as you look at the hits, like you have made 300 for a day, but for comments, they might come two or three, or they may not even come.
Yeah.
That's true. And most of them comments are supportive or comments that raise a battle of ideas between your idea and others. So it doesn't give you a good know-how about what your status is.
Okay, so people say, hey, nice
post. Yeah, that's it.
They don't respond to the ideas or issues raised. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, language could be a big hurdle, you know. But the thing is, the things that we are writing in English makes us a little bit of elitist, you know. Because I especially for the response, I think if we had written in Amharic, probably, or Romania or Tigrinya, other language, probably they would have been more responses because I just
some people they actually like write in Amharic.
Yeah, because that would be. I think most people in Ethiopia Ethiopia's history is very, you know, a little bit. You compare to other African countries, like you go to Nairobi, you have people speaking in English, or you go to other Francophone country, you have people speaking French. But this is a very special country because we have majority of people use their first language. So. Their own vernacular languages. So, yeah, because it could be also, there is also language other, you know. I know people who live in Ethiopia who like to read papers like The Fortune, but they are put off by the language because it's English. They could understand something, but they can't respond to you. Language also, I think, could be a big issue.
But I don't see it as language being a big issue because most of the people who have got access to internet actually have academicians or related to, they have quite good know-how about how to write and respond. We are not attracting other internet not users to the term rather than.
Yeah, I think I would say it's also kind of like people are actually getting used to already the traditional media. So like they read newsletter and then they don't comment or anything, so they just like put it down, right? So I think like sometimes they take blog like that, so instead of like reacting to it, I mean they just read and it's a nice post, and then they, even if they don't agree, I mean there are some there are some issues which can be extremely sensitive, then some people they respond. For example, it's like the highest respond I get, I was a subject about homosexuality. Then it's like, it's very sensitive, so people like, come on, don't raise this issue, so they comment. But usually like if you have like kind of less interesting ideas, and then usually they don't really reply at all, even if like a lot of people see your blog. After saying that, but we have actually bloggers who write about politics, especially like Daniel and Abel, like they're usually focusing on politics, and like people actually write about lifestyle, like Sarah and Arafa also. I don't know. Like personally, like I'm also interested to talk more about social aspects and also events
and also
technology, like especially like technological events in Ethiopia or technologies, what's happening. I like always like write many articles about against the telecom and. All these things, which is my interest so far, at least.
There is also one blogger, in fact, the blog is titled "Ethiopian Feminist," so she writes about some feminist issues, which I find is interesting. It to an Ethiopian blogger, she's someone who came from come back from the United States.
Yeah,
I would understand why she would.
And what do you think is like blogging is
it's recognized by people or by the politicians that there is something like a blogosphere, or do they answer? Because in Germany we had the situation that politicians that commenting in your blog, not in my blog, but in big blogs, they're like no, they just so is it recognized or is it just like okay, there is a blogosphere but nothing more?
No, it is a very at a nascent stage. No, it's not. It's not as much recognized as it should be. But the same is. But the same could be said also if you also go talk to some journalists working in the newspapers, they might also tell you the same story. I don't, because like some of the papers, if it takes a Fortune, which I think is a very good paper, there are like issues that they raise and criticism. But no, you have some very few people, you know, coming forward in the next issue to respond to those issues raised. So no, it's not as much as, and also the thing is about also blogging, there what's happening is about the internet, some also not nice good stuff. You have many websites, actually Ethiopian websites, most of them based in the United States. So what they do is actually they don't even come up with something of their own. What they do is anything written about Ethiopia by international news medias, it could be Reuters, AP or something, or New York Times or The Guardian, and then they just link it. So since they don't have to write something of their own, they do link every day. So I think they are in a more advantageous situation than us. Like many people, in fact, most people, if you ask them the Ethiopian websites they know, they happen to mention those websites to you. Mm. But if you go and check their sites, they don't even have anything. They don't even write anything. They just, what they do is link. It's all linking. But still, since they are websites, since they are not blogger, when you are a website, you have a lot more advantage than being a small-time blog. Even when you check Google News, these are the sites that come out, not your blog. So which I find are not very interesting things about the whole internet culture in Ethiopia.
So you think
it's not reaching people as much as I expected it to be. No, it's not that visible.
So you think that blogging is, or the important thing is that you write your own articles which you make, because there's a lot of blogs also in Germany which are just linking or commenting things which are in media.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like the thing is like a lot of people, they don't give attention on that, because if you raise some ideas and then people don't react to that, or at least they don't want to react to that. I mean, of course, like when you write a blog, you have a chance to write about some issues like repeatedly until it gets attention. So I mean, probably that's actually the advantage. But if you see, like, if you go, for example, like to the Wikimedia, the international, and then if you actually see Ethiopian online media services, and then probably you'll find only one from Ethiopia. It's all of them are not in Ethiopia. It's like it's from the diasporas, like all the other medias. Even like from the Wikipedia, actually, like I really try to add to the Ethiopian blog, like the aggregator, and then they always delete it. So it's like it's somehow like the not only like for the from the local, but also like for the international level, they already accepted those medias like in outside Ethiopia as a main source of information, instead of like local medias. So that's actually the main problem. And I would expect, for example, like from the blog sphere, like later on, probably like a lot of people will write more about the media itself. Like Ndalk, for example, like he usually criticizing the Ethiopian media about not really giving a good emphasis about different issues. So probably like that might create a positive change in the future. But currently, I mean, it's really like doesn't get any too much attention so far.
Really? Yeah, just to make also clear to what I said about, I'm not against the idea of linking, because when I myself, when I do things of interesting stuff, I could link. But the thing what's happening is, like, mostly I want to know what Ethiopian point of view about events which are happening in this country. So what's happening is, if you look at Ethiopian websites, they are telling you, they are linking stories like, for example, happening in Germany, because they are written by German journalists So it's all from a German point of view.
Yeah.
Or like Minneapolis, there was an Ethiopian child, adopted child, abused or some stuff. That's news important. But what's happening in Addis? I mean, you have like hundreds and thousands of children abused. No one is going to talk about that. Not because that's not happening here, because there is not a media, one media here. But there in America, I mean, they have a very rich tradition of media. Anything of injustice done against people, they tend to be reported. Now, when you look at the Japan website, you go over, recently there has been a talk of one girl in America who has been adopted from Ethiopia, and then she has been abused, and then she has killed or something. She was found. But this story, I'm not saying that it should not be an issue. It is an issue. But the thing is, just because she's in America, she was lucky enough to get, really lucky.
Yeah.
But here, Ethiopian journalists, like those who are working for the government, they don't have the right to report such kind of things. There are very strict rules and regulations that they work about. They have to talk about development, blah, blah, blah. There are some things that only they cannot even write a sentence which could seem appear against the government.
Yeah.
Those even the private press, it's not that private, actually.
Yeah.
Even I'm not talking about comparing with German. If you compare with papers in Kenya, even in Zimbabwe, where we say it's very harsh, they tend to be a lot more freedom than here.
Yeah.
So, and also, many journalists are not even forthcoming to write about. So that's why I feel the linking is one side more sided to events happening in the West. Those the things are about Ethiopians who are living there.
And the other problem is, if you see both groups from the diaspora and from here, they are quite polarized in their point of views. I mean, if you even witness the building of this dam, the big dam, you find very interesting opposing ideas in a way that you're not expected. Just because they are outside of the Ethiopia, they seem to think that they are untouchable, and they post things that are extreme. Here they seem like they are not affected by the international influence or by those people who do. So the same thing goes here. So the introduction of bloggers here can be a balance, because we witness both sides of perspective, and we can be a good one. But even if you write an interesting topic and if you ask them to post it in their blog outside the Ethiopia, they seem like you are some part of the government, for compromising a bit or for having some things, and that is also a problem.
The other problem
is also that our politicians are not quite moderate, or they are old school. Like they don't reach out the young generation with the internet or other medias. They are proceeding with the way they have been proceeding all the way since they start their movements, and that makes it boring for people and to stay away from the game. Yeah. I think
what Abel talked about is politicians being an old school. Yeah, I think it's true, because like you have a generation of young people who are at least trying, who are going things their own way. The politicians, most of them tend to be from older generation. I don't even think they do care. I don't know, like, this is something that I was wondering about, because there is this report weekly coming from weekly. I was even curious if really that interests them to some of the things that, even when they are the subject themselves, like I've been very reading some interesting stuff about Kumadi Maksa as a mayor, whatever. This is what it was just released by WikiLeaks. So I was just curious if they really care even to read what's been said about them by WikiLeaks. So that's a very important point. About this, the media, like those medias coming from who are based in the US and Ethiopia. It's the media also is a reflect of Ethiopian politics, which is very much, as you said, very polarized. and also those who live in the United States or Europe, since they have lot more freedom, they live in the country where there is this protection, because they are at ease to say whatever thing is. Mm-hmm. But for me, to be honest, no, there are things that I want to say that I don't do, because so far, like all this time blogging, I've never had of anyone. I've never been arrested, or which is luckily I've never been followed or something, because I think it's because I'm raising very soft issues. I'm talking about, even if the politics that I wrote about are not
take it as a trait. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why probably I'm not. I don't know if they're following me, but I don't get the feeling that I've been followed, so because I'm raising issues which are not threatening. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But still, that does not mean that everybody, I'm here. It doesn't mean that I like everything the government is doing, and that I'm keeping quiet about it. Because, like, if you talk about press freedom in Ethiopia, like, there has been two journalists now recently arrested, and then at the court, they come up with accusations, not with what they written, but just they said it was a terrorism plot. They were trying to do something bad to the tele office, whatever. So that's very frightening, because I don't know. I don't have the information really if these people were really involved in that or not. But the thing is, you are a journalist. If the government does not like what you write, they could bring you to court, and they're not going to accuse you for what you wrote, because for that you could respond. You could, but when it is something else, like when you are someone involved, you are a terrorist, that's very harsh. I mean, you could imagine.
And they also can get stigmatized from the Western world, because if it is a terrorist issue, America or other nation won't bother about you being incarcerated.
Yeah, because it's very, very hard. I mean, this is journalism. Really, I don't have the information. People don't have to. Now, the thing is, the government seemed to have every information, so they say, we found him, you know, doing some stuff.
But you never know. One thing I wanted to know is that how traditional media, like journalists, react to their new. Do they see it as a competition, or the bloggers, or do they react in any way?
I don't know. I mean, like, actually, like, I contacted the Reporter magazine, also the Fortune magazine, one time, actually, if they actually want to start a kind of, like, blog section in their newsletter. I mean, like, if you see, like, the Time magazine or, like, they have actually, like, a perspective section or blogging section. So what they usually do is, like, they take blogging from one journalist or from one blogger, and then they will repost it with the permission. And I mean, for both of them, they never really replied to me until today. So I mean, I would assume actually the traditional newsletters, they are really don't really care about blogging at all. Yeah. The journalists, they don't really care about it. The only thing I heard about from the blogging sphere is like it's Sarah. Like she, one of the magazines is called Zoma magazine. They contacted her
after reading
her blog.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then now she actually contributes something for them, but I mean, I don't know, like, probably, like, you might know.
No, I think I have not approached them like Marcos did, but the thing is, some of them, they do know us, because since we are in the same, just because also I was a journalist, so I also worked for some of the papers, like Sub-Saharan Informer,
okay.
So, like, the editor of Ali Fortune, Samson, who used to be my colleague, so I am sure that he is very much aware of my blog. I think he also comments sometimes. So they do. I think they don't like Tamrat knows about blog because he read. But the thing is, well, there are stories that like they don't give you credits for, like, there are times where some of them like have published my pictures. For example, Addis Adimas, there was a picture of Sabat that I've taken, and they post it. They don't give
without taking
no credit. So, well, I was not happy about it, but also, they are not They are also, I'm not unknown by them, so they, just because, not because unnecessarily they know me, but they just Google, and they, when they found, when, because, and then they found the picture or something, so they do know us, I think, because just, it's easy, it's simple, you don't have many people writing in Ethiopia, so when you want some topic, you, what you do, that's what is my, myself do, I Google, I put the name, so when you Google, it will take you to some blog, I'm sure they do know us.
Yeah.
Some of them do know us.
Yeah. I mean, they, I mean, in terms of maybe knowing, yes.
Yeah, they do, but
they don't want to
like Marcos, what he said. No, I have not approached them.
Yeah.
No, no. But some of them, they do. I think some of them, I know them too, personally.
Yeah.
Especially
but actually, like, have
those
you,
guys from
have
the
you
reporter.
Ever heard actually like any publication about Ethiopia blog? No, like any.
No, no. That I didn't say no.
Yeah, because like the blogs actually they also talk about the newsletters, the Ethiopia entered like the media.
Yeah.
But it's one side.
Yeah,
it's the other side, the newsletter, they never really mention about blogs at all.
But during, there was an exception though. During the 2005 election, which there was a very, there was one blog that they used to, Seminark, I think it was called Seminark.
Okay.
And that blog, I remember even, Addis Fortune was actually posting some stories from that blog.
Oh, okay.
Then, but that blog was...
blocked.
Yeah, it was blocked, but also it was also written by people who has been very much... has contact with the parties, so the information that was not that the blog publishing was not a common knowledge, that was coming from very parties. So I was not surprised because I myself was a very, I think I at the end I know I suspected who these people are. So these are people not very journalists actually, people very much in the know of the parties. It was a clenched party.
Okay.
Blog,
Coming back to the political issue, and then you can say if you don't want to talk about it. Do you have fear in some kind of?
There are times that I kind of forward myself to the future and think about what will happen if they caught or know about my blog and what kind of torture or something that I might be able to resist, like watching Jack Paul or kind of movie like that. But the thing is, in my case, especially in verse, I'm not quite open to let to the students know much about it, because I know the consequence. I accept the consequence of my action, whether it is wrong or right, but I don't want other students to be involved with, because without their knowing or without intentionally, they might get hurt. But it's a very risky situation, because they kind of see it, they will just put it at the same as the Middle East revolution. It started with Facebook, that's it. They don't need another thing for you to simplify your case.
Yeah.
So it's... a risky business.
So as I said before, yes, I have a fear. Sometimes you ask yourself, what's the, by writing, you know, what could you achieve? Like what you said, there was a very interesting point. What can I change? Yes, you try. You know, personally, you try to be honest with yourself. Like when there are things that you don't like especially injustice done against people, you have to say something about it. Which I tried for some cases, but. Like in a very personal level, like I remember there was a case where a woman who was head of the Ethiopian Women's Lawyer Association, she was just she left the country actually because of some pressure from the government. The government accused her of providing false information to the American government. So kind of, actually this story was published in an Arabic newspaper, so I translated that and put it in my blog. You know, things like that, you do that. But there are places, there are things that you don't go. So because I just ask, why would I confront my own? Why the confrontation with, like, especially you see many journalists, you know, being harassed and thrown into jail. Yes, there are things that I don't know about what's going on about ministers, but like those things that you read at WikiLeaks, if I happen to know them, I will not publish them, not living in Addis.
Yeah.
So yes, of course, I have a fear. But also the fear is not, but in Ethiopia also something, it's not only from the government too. But this is, because it's not the government. It's like anyone in Ethiopia, when you criticize people, they tend to come upon you. But these are not in the government. Even people, like it could be preacher. There was a time where I wrote about a certain preacher, which also I translated from Amharic magazine. And then, yes, he was trying. Yeah, there was, not him actually, someone else came to me and to talk to me on his behalf. So people tend to take things this here personal, very personal.
So it's a cultural thing.
They might think that you are coming against them.
Okay.
Now, for me, for example, in this case, in this preacher case, he was not, the person was not an issue for me. I just read it in the Amharic newspaper, and then he's a very famous Protestant preacher. And then I found what I found was a very interesting story. So I translated it and published it in my blog. Actually, it was something to do with his family affair. So, but that guy might think that you are deliberately. He might think that you are doing some kind of defamation. You're coming personal against him because you want to attack him. But I don't know him for that. I've never known him actually. But that's. So yes, it's not only the government. In fact, because as long as a person has power, he doesn't have to be in the big government office. You know?
Yeah, actually, like it's usually like the hierarchical thing is like very strong here in the country. So, I mean, I would say like probably like the biggest power is the government, which you probably like always fear in a way, especially when it comes to speech of freedom. But also like you can also think of like, for example, like religious leaders. So if you say something against a religion or some culture, and then they will definitely come up to you. It can be also physical sometimes. That's what happened to one of the very famous journalists, Bokatsu, just because he talked about one issue who actually the guy is supposed to be.
He was physically attacked, yeah.
Yeah, saint about the saint, and then he was physically attacked. So there are some people like who could be extremist in terms of like very loyal to their political parties or loyal to their religion, so they might actually like really come up with you. But but especially as a government, like as a probably like as a superpower, like in the country, I mean sometimes like when you exercise like your freedom of speech, like you might also fear that even though actually you are not probably like your political view can be also similar to the government. But if you particularly criticize like one or two side of the government, then you can still be categorized as like the opposite side.
Yeah, to see to the extent how the system goes down. There was this moment that we have got a newly appointed president who is a foreigner, and I've got the chance in front of a gathering among students to ask him like first. I just forwarded I introduce you your new president, and if you have anything to say to your president, you can ask him. It was on celebration, and everybody was not interested in saying a word. So I just told them that they are not ready, but you are a foreigner and you are not quite aware Ethiopian student social academic problem, especially related to food and sanitary. So it will be nice if you give us a time. Then the student club, and in the second day the student council posted my name, and they warned me for clothing a movement thing because you are raised the student motivation. Mm-hmm. And those students are not quite actually appointed by the students, they are direct contacted with the government. Mm-hmm. So even in the academic sector they go this much deep. So I kind of laughed. If you have seen my blog, you should have thrown me. So, this much. But they are not quite moderate. The students are not quite moderate, and they don't even know about. They don't. I don't think even if they have a Yahoo ID or something like that. Yeah. Maybe that makes it a comfort zone for me to write, until they get awake.
Yeah, and perhaps one question more. What do you wish for the Ethiopian bloggers and blogosphere for the future?
I think the wish is that because this is technology, there are prospects, good prospects. It's not only happening in Ethiopia, it's happening all over Africa.
Yeah.
Like, because it's something that's starting in Ethiopia. We start very late, very, very late. I'm not comparing with US or Europeans, but even with Africans. Like, you go to Kenya, people tell you that there is a lot more, much more good connection to the internet. So I think more sooner or later, people are getting connected anyway. So far, it has not been that satisfactory. But now it's changing. And also, Ethiopia, the advantage also, you have many, many people living outside of the country, like many Ethiopians living in the United States and Europe. These are also your potential readers. So I think there is a lot more. The thing is, for now, you need to have patience. You post something, and then it's not very interesting not to see comments, not to see people, not when it's everything is blank, whether are they people taking you for stupid or what. That's not very encouraging. But I think sooner or later, because this is a technology, we're talking about technology, it's going to change. Like, you have in Egypt, many people now, how many people, I don't know, like the last statistic about using Facebook, just Facebook was 9 million people registered. This is far from the reality in Japan now. Yeah. I don't know the figures, but not even 1 million people. So, I mean, you could imagine. Still, we have to go a long, long way, but I think because the rapidity that we have seen in the change already, like when I started blogging some 7 or 8 years ago, Facebook was something new. There was not much, even many of my friends were not even on Facebook. But now many people are on Facebook. So that's changing. I see good prospect in it.
I think, like, when it comes to the future of the blogging, I personally wish that, like, especially students would be encouraged to write, because I mean they have English knowledge, very good English knowledge. They have good internet connection in the universities, because I mean the university usually have like good connections, also even private. And at the same time, actually, they have like more time to develop themselves. So when they go out, like on the work time, actually, they can always say, okay, like this is my profession. Like, I wrote a lot about blog about it, and they already make some connections in the future. So like, that's actually my wish, that they get like this one. And the second one is actually like, I would also wish that like the Ethiopian blog sphere is very small. So I would wish actually there is international recognition for that. So it's like, probably like we need support like from big bloggers, like to just cover about this blogging, or they just link some of the blogs where like, okay, we get this source of information from this blog. So I mean, then like the other medias also will try to get copy from it. So if, for example, if Guardian copy some blog from one of the blogs, and then probably like the Ethiopian media also get some attention. That's actually one thing. Also, probably also like some other international events when there is bloggers, so they might actually really mention the Ethiopian blog sphere, and because it's very small, so which means like it has like positive side, also negative side. The positive side is actually like there is a way that it will be bigger in the future, so there is a potential in it. So the negative part is very slow, so it needs to be a bit bigger than now.
Yeah, for me, I want it to be a safe haven for people who want to battle with their ideas. And seeing all our neighbor nations hosts being invited in Al Jazeera or international media to address issues that are now quite different with us, or having those access in the near future, I look forward to watch our Ethiopian bloggers also have a chance to be invited on international medias. Hopefully. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay. Really interesting.